Craig David, ooh yeah, In Your Hands. It's Radio 3 for a Tuesday, and that means we're whizzing over to Melbourne, down the road, to say hi to our biz futurist, Morris Misolowski. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, happy Tuesday, everyone. It's going wonderfully, thanks.
Happy Tuesday to you. And as always, we talk about trends and things developing and stuff. And I did notice, Morris, that today is World Hearing Day, which is a thing that's held by the Office of Prevention of Blindness and Deafness of the World Health Organization. And I know that medicine and health futures are a pet topic of yours. So I wondered if you fancy tying this in a bit.
Yeah, of course. It's a wonderful topic and necessary one too. And it's also so liberating how easily we talk about this now, because many people that were hard of hearing not so long ago were a bit ashamed, a bit afraid to be able to say that they couldn't hear perhaps as well as others do. And also there was a great stigma attached to it, and it just isn't, I think, to the same extent anymore. And from that end, I'm really grateful that the world has shifted and moved along.
As long ago or as short ago as the 1980s, there was a great stigma attached to many things, really, wasn't there?
Yeah, even sooner, Phil. I really don't think it's the last 10 or 15 years
really?
That it's become a really not who cares in the wrong way, because obviously we don't want them to have that difficulty or issue, but it's who cares. It's just something else that we need to accept and move along with. It's not a disability anymore in the same sense from a stigma viewpoint. And I think that's really important culturally, because many, many people will tell you going back that they didn't get a hearing aid, not because they didn't want one, because they didn't want their friends to make fun of them.
Yeah. Basically, that's what a lot of this stuff comes down to, isn't it? I mean, if anybody remembers, perhaps, being a school kid in the 80s or the 70s, I mean, it's brutal, wasn't it, in the playground?
Yeah, it was. I mean, as humans, we pick on anything that seems to be, you know, not near that perfect persona that we think people should have. So I love this topic for the purpose that we can talk about it so easily, and because there is so much possibility around this too. There is so much assistance. First of all, need to recognise whenever we talk about disability that really we're not saying that there's a perfect way to be. We're saying that there are choices now and things that can be done and new technologies that might help to assist if that's something that you want assistance with.
Yeah.
I know a great number of people that are hearing affected in whatever sense that they are, and they're really comfortable with their lives that way and don't want assistance and don't want any of the things we're about to talk about, and that's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Ausland as well, or the variations around the world, which allow people to speak with their hands, their fingers. That's a great boon too. And being taught in schools now. I saw a piece yesterday on an Australian state school, a country one, where they were teaching Ausland to children in primary schools so that they could talk to people
just hard
of hearing.
That's awesome, isn't it? I'd love to be able to do that. Of course, we're probably thinking about adults in the old days with hearing aids, big pink monstrosities and stuff.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of levels here, and one of them is like little kids who may have been born hard of hearing or who developed it, and that impacts their speech, and so it goes on, etc.
Yeah.
So basically, I want to focus on Australia now, because that's the area you really know about. Any things that sort of come across your radar about developments for people who can't hear so well?
Well, the cochlear implant that many people know about now, which is an implant that we put into the skull, into the head itself, was an Australian invention going back to the 1990s.
Oh, yeah.
And that today, again, I use the word ordinary today from a really happy viewpoint. That's become quite an ordinary operation now for people to have. And that was a huge step. We take it so much for granted. But up until that point, literally, of cochlear implants, everything was amplification.
Mm,
we put things into our ears so that it would, you know, come out louder. But what cochlear did was it bypassed the canal in the ear that wasn't working properly, and it began to send signals back into the brain for the first time ever, signals back into the brain, and totally missed that ear. So what you were hearing, or what you were capable of hearing if the device worked well, and of course if your physiology allowed you to, was the actual noise that was coming from the outside world, meaning people's voices, sounds, you know, ducks quacking, whatever it was, you actually heard it and not the amplified volume of it.
Well, how many people listening now have got noise-cancelling headphones? That's a fairly new technology, which you think, yeah, cool, when you're watching Netflix, but boy, in this area?
Yeah, and you're right. It's because of those types of technologies, they've really become ordinary and in everyday devices. And that's what we find a lot in our disability research, that you might start off with a noble thought that I'm going to assist people that have XYZ or don't have XYZ, but what you end up with is a really cool commercial application well beyond just that group of people. And the noise-cancelling headsets and a whole lot of other stuff is really good examples of that.
I'm imagining, Maurice, this is where the AI comes into it, because there are times in life when you don't want noise-cancelling, you want the ambience, so I guess it decides. Yeah.
And that's exactly it. And that, again, is a big change. What we moved from Cochlear really was into the digital age in the 1990s. So Cochlear was about 1981. It was and is an operation that you have. But the digital age, which is where for the first time you weren't just receiving noises in, so this is putting something into your ear, you weren't just receiving the noise, but the device itself could choose how much of that noise to bring in or leave out. And it was kind of making the decision, is that just ambient or silly or loud noises that the hearer doesn't need to have, or is it a voice? Yep. In other words, we need to amplify it really strongly, bring it in well, or is it just something in the background? And it's making those decisions on the fly, literally in split second. And that's where AI's kicked it up a notch too in the last few years. It's able to make those decisions really quickly and really well, but not independently. So as it learns from the listener, from the person it's attached to, as it learns their hearing and what they want to hear and what they don't want to hear, and it does that simply by the way we respond, by the way we move our head, by all the sorts of things we don't even know we're conscious of, but it's taking in all those cues from the person that's wearing it, and it next time knows better or worse how to amplify that noise, what's important, what's not.
I'm wondering if Apple and the like, if they contributed in any way with obviously smartphones, because I don't know why, I was reading about Bluetooth this morning when I was just fixing up to chat with you, and they're saying about Bluetooth, whatever happens in terms of connectivity, Bluetooth won't go away. It's the gold standard, the blue standard, and stuff will go alongside it. It won't replace it, but Bluetooth is an awesome thing because it's like an elastic band, so that must be really helpful.
It is, and those devices that we carry around with us were actually, a really big boon, because what it meant for some people, and it depends on the level of hearing and what they wanted to replace that with, but for some people it meant that they could just buy a really ordinary device like an iPhone or like an Android phone or whatever else everybody else had, because all the devices now, but going back to the beginning, some of them already had these disability things inside of them. So you could make your phone larger. You could make it hear better for you. You could take the fonts up and down to be able to see better. And today's smartphones and mobile devices and other devices actually allow people to bypass, in some cases, the need for an implant or the need for a hearing aid at all, because it will do it through the device if that's what you choose.
Fascinating too. It's a couple of very specific Australia things I've been finding out about. I don't know if you've heard of it. Hearing Australia Corporate Plan. That's between 26 and 29. So basically, I'm just going to read this. The national program focuses on expanding access to hearing services, especially for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. It emphasizes culturally respectful care, community partnerships, and advancing self-determination in health outcomes. Now, when you have people with different needs in life, this is another discussion of the applied use of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a really great use of it, and perhaps a good use of our government money too. But what they talk about is the strong reality that many of the things we've spoken about now and that are available are available downtown.
Sure.
I mean, they're available in cities.
Oh, that's important too. You can literally go and get it, can't you?
Exactly. I mean, you know, you have great audiologists, you have great centres, you have all sorts of things available downtown, so to speak. But, of course, lots of people in Australia don't live downtown.
No.
They live in countries, they live outback, they live in all kinds of places where it's not easy to get access to the professionals and not easy to get access to the devices. And that's what this government initiative is trying to do, is trying to make all of that equal for everybody, so that even if you're not in the city, you can still get access and have the money you might need to be able to buy these devices, have the cochlear implants, or maybe get some of these upgrades to your mobile device that help you hear better. All of those things are part of that initiative.
It's quite interesting, isn't it? You mentioned audiologists. I mean, they've been around forever, I'm sure, but they've become a thing recently. Again, going back in time, people may have just needed to get their, you know, their inner ears and everything all cleaned out, basically, and sorted out. It wasn't a thing back then.
It wasn't. It was a real niche specialty, I would suggest, maybe 20 or 30 years ago. Lots of them around. I mean, it's not as if they've just invented themselves. But nowadays you seem to find a lot of them. Again, I think that's because the stigma's disappeared. It's kind of like optometrists now are readily available. I know in Asia that was true. But in Australia we didn't really have all that many. Again, it was one of those hidden things, you know, maybe up on the first floor, hidden away. But now optometrists are on every high street and every second shop. You have lots of Specsavers and OPSM and all that kind of people with true professionals inside of them, not just selling the spectacles. Mm-hmm. It's also true of hearing aids now. It's a huge business. I have a mate of mine that set up about 20, 25 years ago, an entire range, had many retail outlets, I should say, with audiologists in them, had set up this entire network is what I was trying to get at, and sold it maybe 10 years ago for a quite a considerable amount of money. It just grew really big and became very, very popular. So there's a lot of money to be made in it too.
It's very interesting to discover today from you that Cochlear is actually the name of a company as well. They're in Sydney.
It's a traded share, so it's on the stock exchange too. Phenomenal. Now, they've also come up with, but not been as successful yet, with the ability to replace the human eye. Again, for those people that can't see, there is a similar version, the bionic eye. It's kind of teetering on being successful or not successful in that space. The technology works. The dollars don't work quite yet, and it's got a bit of a way to go. But again, interesting technology.
I mean, I know you're not a specialist, Maurice, but do you get the impression that AI is really going to drive this great need?
It's going to speed it up. I'm not sure it's going to drive it, but what it has done and what it will continue to do, as it's done with research over the last 5 or 10 years, because AI's been around longer in research and the universities than it has for all of us. In the last decade or so, I've seen, and through my university as well, that the way the researchers are able to collaborate now is better, much stronger, much easier, and also the ability to use AI to help them to search and think through the data is also making these things happen quicker than they would have happened before.
So we've talked about not being able to hear so well or being totally deaf. There are other things to consider here. Tinnitus is a big problem, and apparently that's being addressed as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Behind all of this, we need to remember that we understand more about the human mind, the human brain, physically, physiology. We know more about the human body now. Again, artificial intelligence isn't the reason for that, but our ability to use that underlying information is now enhanced by artificial intelligence. And we also, again, are understanding how we might be able to prevent or intervene in these things as well. They're not just blunt instruments anymore, meaning we don't have to give somebody just a hearing aid. We might be able to achieve something internally with a bit of an operation or something. There are all sorts of things that we're learning to discover now.
I think you've talked about something similar recently, but apparently at Flinders, not far from you, the university, they're doing what's called non-invasive brain stimulation. I think you know what that's all about.
Yeah, so what they're able to do now is to, again, this is not using a knife anymore, which is what that thing might sound and quite severe operation. But what they're able to do now is through using things like, and we did talk about it a while ago, where you can put a cap on somebody, and we might have seen them in some of the movies or sci-fi and things. It's like a skull cap that you put on, it has little suction caps or something at the end. They attach themselves to various positions on the brain that aren't just the positioned by random. It actually makes sense for where that particular piece of stimuli is being attached to the skull of the person. And then through that, they're able to send brain waves or waves or whatever it is they need to do. Importantly now, and we talked about this, I think, a few weeks ago, they're called BCIs, brain-computer interfaces.
That's what I'm on
about. They're also now able to, not wholesale, not great amounts, but they're also now able to take information out. So we're not just talking about where we might be able to read the brain waves, which we can do really, really well now. So put this on, you can understand where the brain is functioning or not, where hearing is functioning or not. You can actually physically see that on a screen in the way of waves. But we believe we're actually able now to look inside the brain beyond the notion of x-rays and actually understand how the brain is thinking. So what's actually going on, what's making those cogs, so to speak, move, and then trying to understand that better. And that's a really interesting new landscape.
So a lot of the stuff you've been talking about is to do with not trying to fix symptoms. I mean, forget about cure, if you like, but not trying to fix symptoms. Trying to, what's it called? pre-something. I'm just trying to think what doctors do when they tell you what's wrong with you. It's the pre-version of that, basically, preventative.
Diagnose.
Yeah, basically, pre-diagnosis.
Yeah. Well, it is. It absolutely is. But what we're really doing, what we're doing to people is we're saying now that there is the ability to be able to augment if that's what you want to do. Mm. There are all sorts of possibilities. First of all, as you said, the stigma is not attached. There are technologies that are readily available. You can buy lots off the shelf, which is a good thing now because many people don't want to go and have their eyes tested, but they're happy to buy a $2, $3 piece of pair of spectacles from somewhere and it gives them enough magnification. I know that's eyes, but with our ears, it's similar because our iPhones, our smartphones can give us, you know, increased hearing ability without having to go down the road of being tested if we don't want it to. We also can now get hearing aids on the high street really easily from places like Costco and others. So like the spectacles, you can actually get now, I don't know if they're all that good, but you can get hearing aids off the shelf, so to speak, that you kind of figure out which one you need and want. Mm. And then you can go down the road of having some very, very sexy digital stuff that's coming onto the horizon too.
All of the stuff we've talked about, Maurice, I think one of the big requirements, apart from making people better, is if you're a six-year-old kid, will you get bullied at school? And if the answer is no, then brilliant.
Well, the answer is human nature must probably will mean yes, but hopefully not for this.
But you're not wearing anything that gets other kids going. You know, in the old days, stuff that stuck out like a mile, big hearing aids and stuff. So that's where it might be going.
Well, it might be, but again, most probably kids will still need to wear, some children will still need to wear a hearing aid, but they're less bulky. That's not what they were before. And we should get beyond, you know, but again, human nature won't allow us to. We should get beyond kids being bullied for that. Mm-hmm. And schools, I think, are getting better at sending that message to their students as well, that it's not acceptable anymore to do that. So in all kinds of spaces, I think today's a really good day to celebrate the people's ability to hear and to value our hearing too. For those of us that have it, we take it for granted, thankfully.
No kidding, you're absolutely right.
Life's difficult.
World Hearing Day it is today. So thanks very much, Maurice. Just before we say goodbye, have you noticed that there are a lot more adverts on radio and TV and online about hearing and sight difficulties now, i.e. normalising things?
Well, normalising it, it's also become a big business. I mean, I know it's a cynical side of it, but yes, it's been normalised, which is absolutely terrific. But it's huge business, which now leads it into advertising and leads it into possibilities.
Maurice, we'll leave it there. Fascinating talking to you. Always gets me bouncing off thinking about other stuff. Have a great week, man, and catch you next time.
Have a great week, everyone.
You too. That's Maurice Misolowski, live from...